Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And we're real pleased to have with us this morning Mike Stribling, who's the Clinical Director of Catholic Charities Bloomington. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Denise. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real privilege.
Oh, thanks for joining us. If our listeners aren't familiar, could you talk a little bit about, you know, what does Catholic Charities of Bloomington do?
Yeah, Catholic Charities Bloomington is a nonprofit outpatient mental health clinic serving everyone. So our goal is to provide support to everyone, specifically those who are most in need of high quality mental health care services and may have various roadblocks and challenges to getting access to those services.
So you had mentioned too, you know, about doing outpatient therapy. So is this for any age group?
Yeah. So at Catholic Charities, we do serve clients as young as 2 years old across the lifespan. So outpatient mental health therapy is our foundation, meeting one-on-one with clients. It used to be a face-to-face model only before the pandemic and COVID-19. So one of the silver linings of this very challenging 2 years is we were able to change into a hybrid telehealth model of services, which has really increased access for those who struggle maybe financially with transportation or not able to get off of work in order to pick their kids and come in. So we do support all people from age 2 and up with play therapy for kiddos as young as 2. We have 4 play therapy spaces, 3 here on site at our office on Monroe Street, right next to the Boys and Girls Club. And we do partner with Fairview Elementary School, and we have a play therapy site on site at Fairview. So we go there and do therapy during the week as well.
What kinds of things would kids, so do kids work with materials, or what's different about doing play therapy, or why is that important for kids?
Yeah, play therapy, it's hard to express emotions at any age. It's really challenging when you're young because their brains are still developing, their understanding of what they're feeling, what they're thinking, how their bodies are responding to the emotional experiences they're having. So a play therapy space is set up to have different themes structured surrounding each emotion they may be feeling. So there's a place for them to nurture, like a baby doll, and they can take care of a baby doll. There's a sand tray where they can do mindfulness activities or act out a story from their life in the sand tray with different characters, different animals and trees. There's a little nook where they can go hide and read a book if they just need to feel, you know, like they are just safe. There's craft areas, puppets, costumes. So the process is a child walks into the room, evaluates what they're feeling, and then just processes that emotional experience through that choice of a toy or a themed play area. And the therapist's role is to just allow that to happen, ensure that process is going by just reflecting what they're doing. And that aligns their behaviors and choices with the emotion they're feeling. And that's the process of play therapy.
That sounds wonderful. Now, you do a number of other types of specialized techniques, too, for stress and trauma. Is that correct?
We do. This started long before I came here. It has been the mission of Catholic Charities to focus heavily on complex trauma. So our agency, we have 12 therapists now, which is an expansion from when I started. Focuses on the use of EMDR. So our newest therapist is not trained yet, but they will be soon. So 11 of us are trained in EMDR, which is basically a focused trauma reduction type of therapy. And what I try to tell clients is it kind of recreates that REM sleep that happens when we're at night, sleeping at night and dreaming. It just kind of recreates that and uses bilateral stimulation, the connection of the right side of the brain with the left side of the brain, to move from the emotional side, where things can get stuck, those really heavy, fearful, trauma-based experiences on the right side of your brain, moves it over to the left side of your brain. The memory is still there, but it reduces the emotional response to that memory and making the client or the person able to stay in their window of tolerance, in that place where they can stay regulated and still think and function rather than just feeling the experience and being re-traumatized.
And it's, from what I know, it sounds like it's a fairly effective therapy technique and unusual for you to offer it in this area, which is fabulous.
it is highly effective. A lot of people choose EMDR because it just takes kind of the old traditional talk therapy out. It does involve some talking, but it's a focus on internal core beliefs. And so the bilateral stimulation just moves the client through that process very fast. Where talk therapy is the original type of trauma processing, psychotherapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, and we do that a lot here as well. But EMDR does move the process forward, and really powerful because it can bring up memories associated with the core belief that the client hasn't remembered, experienced in quite some time. So along with EMDR, two of our therapists recently got trained in a technique called TheraPlay, which is a restructuring of the family system, like the relationship between the parent and the child. So we've started doing that as well as a trauma focused therapy to help the kids and the parents in that kind of family therapy model work together to kind of re-heal and reconnect.
What a great resource. Are you finding, you'd mentioned the pandemic before and the ability now to do online therapy or teletherapy. And so are you finding, do a lot of your clients still find that more comfortable, or is that something that they're still like drawn to?
Yes, that was what we learned, because before, as we said, telehealth was not a thing, at least in our industry as therapists. So we discovered the real power of meeting people where they're at. That's kind of the goal of a therapeutic relationship, meet the client where they're at. So when the pandemic started and we were able to move to telehealth, being able to meet with a kiddo in their already safe space, in their room where we could meet their pets, we could see their favorite toys. It really brought therapy to a really hands-on level, rather than that feeling of them maybe coming to the doctor's office or a place that was unfamiliar, meeting a total stranger. So it really made the power and the balance of that relationship very equal from the start. And not to mention the challenges that many people face. So our agency tries to serve the people in most need. So whether it's transportation issues or can't get not being able to get off work or get out of school. So we have clients that would drive an hour one way to come meet for a 45-minute session. And they may have to choose gas over food or not paying an electric bill. And this just completely takes that challenge out of the equation. It's been extremely powerful, and it's been a wonderful learning process for all of us over the last couple of years.
Oh, I think that's great. What are you finding too, you know, is the, you know, I think we all had hoped the pandemic was going to wind up and go away, and obviously it hasn't yet. Are you finding your demand is increasing? Are families and children more stressed out? What are you seeing?
Yes, from the minute of the pandemic started, I can't believe it was 2 years ago, the increase was dramatic, almost three times as many inquiries per week. And that's staying pretty consistent. So mental health has become more aware in our general society as being a need. It's always been a need. It's just become in the spotlight. And so that's why we are able to expand from 7 therapists to 11 therapists, just getting to our 12th therapist, because the number of inquiries we receive just keep climbing. So we're really excited for the opportunity to serve everyone. I know here at Catholic Charities, we are pretty much a full service operation. So we take all private insurance. And what I mean by that is stuff like Anthem, where you get from your employer, UHC, and all those private insurances. But we also are an agency that focuses on treating people in poverty and people who don't have jobs that can provide an employer-based insurance company. So we do take all 5 forms of Medicaid across the spectrum of the state and the federal. So that's a really powerful tool. A majority of our clients are Medicaid clients and get that help from the Affordable Care Act as that's been growing and developed. And then beyond that, if a client doesn't have insurance or can't pay, we do work on a sliding fee scale. So based on your income or the number of people in your home, we can say, okay, this is what you can pay. And then we negotiate that with them. And then at the very end, if they can't afford that, then we do offer clients to be able to pay what they can. So we do see clients for as little as $20 a session, sometimes less in extreme need. But we've learned that clients and people want to contribute to their own health and their own healing. So everybody always wants to pay something, which is nice. And I should say another great thing that we do to help people is we have a really wonderful intern program. So we train master's level therapists from Indiana University, the mental health counseling program, the social work program, and sometimes other universities as well, from people living locally, maybe training online. And when a client agrees to meet with an intern, there is no cost. So that is a supervised therapeutic relationship by myself and the intern coordinator, where clients can get free therapy as well. So we really everything we can to make it accessible for everyone.
Yeah, no, that sounds phenomenal. And making that accessible to that extent is incredible. And I think the relationship with the interns is a wonderful idea too. It's like help. It's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely, it is. We're really fortunate.
As you know, we're looking, you know, of course, we just, you know, celebrated New Year's. And so, you know, as people are moving forward, you know, into the new year, what sorts of things, you know, should people look for if they're wondering, you know, should I go see a therapist? You know, am I, you know, depressed about something or stressed about something? What would you recommend to people? Like, you know, when is a good time to maybe go seek some help?
Yeah. Once again, our emotional part of our brains has been developed early on in our life, more so than the thinking part. So I would generally say, if you get that first gut instinct that maybe you're feeling pain, that you're hurting, that's a time to reach out. I like to kind of align it. Most people are familiar with kind of the physical health model. So when people are feeling physical illness, they're looking for fevers, they're looking for sore throats and coughs and things like that to see, oh no, do I need to go see my physical health doctor? I would encourage people to look at the symptoms that more align with mental health. That would be stress and worry and sadness and frustration. Those are four general symptoms that happen when there's a mental health thing going on. Just like your physical body gets sick, that's just your brain saying, hey, I need some help to process. Because stress can add to physical health symptoms. Excessive worry can lead to anxiety. Excessive sadness can lead to depression. And excessive frustration can lead to anger. And this is all normal. We all, as human beings, we're all emotional beings. We feel all these things on a regular basis. So the goal is to try to identify your window of tolerance. And that's a real therapeutic term that we use, that you as a human stay within your balanced emotional state, where your thinking brain is still active and your emotional brain is still active. When you feel that those emotions are going past your window of tolerance, that basically means your emotional brain is taking over. And you're less able to think rationally and logically in the moment. And that then creates the challenges of a mental health scenario. So when you're noticing high levels of stress, worry, sadness, or frustration is a great time to reach out.
Are you, no, those are really great pointers. And are you finding, are still people reluctant to come seek therapy services? Is there still sort of a stigma attached with it that they think, oh no, I don't want to go do that? Are you finding that it's getting better that way?
You're right. It is getting better, but there's still a stigma as well, because it has been a present concern for all of humanity for a long time, but there was the stigma attached to it. So with the pandemic, there's been an increased awareness, which has been an increased acceptance that, hey, we are all feeling stress like we've not felt maybe ever. We're all going through this situation for the first time in our lives. I know pandemics have happened in the past, but for our society and our generations now, this is a once in a lifetime experience. And to manage that and finding that people are reaching out, being more open, being more trusting, because it is really hard. It's a very vulnerable experience asking for help for anything, whether you're asking for help to buy food, asking for help to pay for gas, when you're asking for help to share your complete private pain with a total stranger. That's a really challenging scenario. And that's what we try to do here at Catholic Charities, is the minute anyone interacts with our system, we treat them with dignity and respect, privacy and confidentiality, and just welcome them into our family and know that they have all the answers and to help themselves heal. And we're just kind of walking them along that path, walking beside them to help them find their way.
And you'd mentioned, it's very well put, and you had mentioned before too that you're open to all. So that there's no religious connection with anything. People of any faith are open to come seek your services.
Absolutely, yes. We are fortunate to be a part of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, which is the Catholic Church, but we are their nonprofit wing. So that means that we serve everyone. You do not have to be Catholic. You can be of any faith. You can have any human characteristic. And we are looking forward to helping you and supporting you if you reach out to us. So it's a gift to be able to do what we do.
That's wonderful. Well put. Now, you're a nonprofit organization. And so I'm sure, like a lot of other nonprofits right now, it's been tough. A lot of people haven't been able to hold fundraisers or events and things like that. So if somebody's listening and mental health is an important issue they'd like to support, what's the best way that somebody could make a contribution or donation to you? What do you recommend?
The easiest way is we were fortunate over the last year during the pandemic, we were able to work with ITServe, an Indiana University group connected with SPIA, to get a new website created. So if you go to our new website at www.ccbin.org, that takes you right to the front page, and there's a big button on the top right corner that says Donate Now. And that's how you can make a contribution, and it goes straight into our ability to help the people that we help. A donation as small as $25 can just be stretched endlessly when it comes to play therapy supplies. When kiddos are processing their pain and their trauma in play therapy, art supplies get used, paper gets used, sometimes toys get damaged, and sand falls on the carpet from the sand tray. So we clean that up and vacuum that up and keep those supplies moving through. So a small donation of $25 can replenish a child's ability to help themselves heal.
And I think it's very well put. And I think too, with all that, now you work with teenagers and some imagining too, and adults. So I would imagine that donations could help cover sliding scale or therapy services or a number of other things too.
Absolutely. Yes. All extra donations go into our ability to help those in need. So we do. We help teenagers who have no access to the funding to pay for services, as well as adults. And I should say, we're also really fortunate to be part of the United Way network. And their partnership allows us to be connected to them and all the other amazing organizations in the United Way. So our ability to be recognized and get grant funding helps us meet that need as well. But our donors and the community and the folks who love what Catholic Charities does and wants to find a way that they can help in a real tangible way, a direct donation is a really powerful thing that really we are grateful for. Every single dollar amount goes to help.
Well, and you guys are doing amazing work. You know, as you look forward, you know, as we're in the new year, what's your wish or hope for the coming months?
Yeah, I know it's a tough time again with winter and the pandemic is still on. So our hope is that everybody realizes that there are random acts of kindness and goodness happening everywhere around, but we don't hear that a lot, right? We hear a lot of the stress and the challenges in society, and that can trigger an emotional response of the four things we were talking about. So my hope is that people moving forward remember that just because we don't hear about all the good and all the kindness and all the love that's in the world, it is happening in small pockets at a very large scale. So to look for that in their life, pay attention obviously to what's going on so you can take care of your family and be prepared for whatever the next challenge is around the corner. We know that life is always challenging, but take moments and take time to focus on the kindnesses around you, and be grateful for what you have, what you can do for others, and just try to stay in the moment. Be connected, but disconnect when you can to give your body and your brain a chance to just decompress some. It could be really helpful.
Well said. Well, Mike, thank you so much for that awesome advice and for everything that you do. We really appreciate you being with us this morning.
It was a real privilege to be here, and thank you so much for having me, and I wish all of you the happiest of New Year's.
Well, thank you very much. And this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington. And we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.